The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink, because you bear the name of Christ, will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O
Christ. All right, now this is an ancient Chinese painting known as the Vinegar Tasters. It was popularized in the United States by a book called The Tao of Pu by Benjamin Hoff. In this book, Hoff explores the teachings of Taoism using Winnie the Pooh. China's three greatest teachers in this painting, Confucius, Buddha, and Lao Tse, have just tasted the essence of life, which is represented by the pot of vinegar that they're all standing around. Confucius has a very sour look on his face, believing that the vinegar is something that used to be good, but has gone bad. Buddha has a bitter look on his face, finding the vinegar very unpleasant, even yucky. Lao Tse, however, appears to be smiling, accepting the vinegar for what it is, while seeking to learn from it. Lao Tse embraces life with an open mind and a desire to know truth. Now, Jesus gives his disciples a riddle that is meant to open their minds. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Perhaps Jesus' question is best answered by another question. Is salt still salt if it has lost its saltiness? In other words, what makes salt salt? Is it the white color? Is it the crystalline structure? Is it that nice savory flavor? Or is it the recipe of one sodium atom bonded to one chloride atom? Or is it something deeper? Something beyond our ability to observe and understand, which makes the salt salt. Jesus' question is similar to the koans used in meditation in Zen Buddhism. A koan is a paradoxical question or a parable that's meant to trip the racing mind. Jesus' question forces us to slow down and to enter the mystery of life. It's the kind of question that makes us consider whether the power of Jesus' name is enough to unite us in mission, or whether we also need to observe the same customs. It's the kind of question that makes us consider whether or not we can still enter eternal life if our personal or professional conduct has become a barrier to someone else who would enter eternal life. It's the kind of question that makes us consider whether times of trial are to be avoided at all costs or whether they are to be accepted with faith and with hope. We should not rush to answer these questions because their value is not in the answer. Their value is in the struggle. Now, many of us do not have time or energy to wrestle the truth out of life. We want a quick fix to our problems. So we ask others to taste the vinegar and to tell us what they have learned, on the condition that they confirm what we already believe about the vinegar often. Yet true transformation does not come from being told what the answer is. True transformation comes through our own personal struggle. Two people, one nominated for a position on the Supreme Court and one the victim of sexual assault, speak their conflicting truths with 100% certainty before the Senate Judiciary Committee last Thursday. Our struggle for truth will set a precedent for how we handle cases of alleged sexual assault for decades. At its first meeting of a group called Skokie Cares, it created a slogan and they approved it. Skokie welcomes everyone. Immediately, someone stands up and asks, "Do we even welcome sex offenders and murderers?" Our struggle for truth will define what kind of welcoming community we are. A man and a woman live together for 35 years, having raised a family. One day, the man turns to his wife and says, "Honey, I have always been a woman." Our struggle for truth is radically redefining how we understand gender and sexual identity. Each situation is like a living koan, which has immense power to open our minds, not only to the mystery of life, but to the mystery of God. God has prepared us to deal with such struggles, such conflicting truths in our lives, because the cross of our Lord Jesus is the ultimate koan. Martin Luther once said, "One who contemplates God's sufferings for a day, an hour, yes, only a quarter of an hour, does better than to fast a whole year, pray a psalm daily, yes, better than to hear 100 masses." So often, we approach the cross looking for a quick fix to sin. But consider this. On the cross, the immortal God suffers death through the flesh of the Son. On the cross, the long-expected Messiah is crucified by the very people he came to save. The cross is a place where the righteous one, not the sinner, is damned. The cross is the royal throne for the beloved Son, David's heir. Perhaps most confusing, the cross is a place where death brings life. The greatest koan ever stands at the heart of our faith. Now, some might ask why God simply does not end things now and remake the world with a few righteous people. But consider the results of Noah's flood, where sin survived in the bodies of even righteous Noah and his family. Quick fixes do not save the world. So Jesus embraced the cross in order that sinners, not the righteous, might be saved through faith. This koan brings us into contact not only with the very essence of life, but the very essence of God. As people of faith, we do rightly to embrace every situation that confronts us, fully expecting God to be at work somewhere. Sometimes God prunes what is unfaithful from our lives, freeing us to live more faithfully. And sometimes God delivers us from a bad or a dangerous situation. Sometimes God rips off the band-aid so that God can heal the wounds and anoint them underneath. And sometimes the work of God is just so nonsensical that we cannot perceive God's hand in this situation apart from faith. In these moments, we simply acknowledge the limits of our understanding and trust that God acted for our salvation, trusting God who acted for our salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's suppose that Confucius, Buddha, Lao Tse, and Jesus all sit down around a table. And on this table is a bag of salt that has lost its saltiness. Confucius is the first to taste it. And he makes a face, knowing that this is something that once was good, but has lost its saltiness and been distorted. Next, Buddha tastes it, and he makes a face because it's unpleasant. It's flat. It's flavorless. It's not savory like it should be. Then Lao Tse tastes it, and he makes a face as well because this salt, which really isn't salt, but is salt, defies the laws of the universe with which he seeks to live in harmony. And then Jesus tastes it and smiles. For the one who can make the sinner stand under God's judgment is also able to restore what was lost.